Good morning, this is Reverend Leslie, and welcome to our service, audio service for this week. We're going to be looking at a reflection on Matthew 4, 1 to 4 to 11. This is where Jesus goes out and is tempted by the devil. So it's going to be an interesting one for us to reflect and think about what are the temptations that arise in our lives. What I'd like you to do to start with is, before you hear my talk and you hear the reading, just stop this audio for a few minutes and take a piece of paper and write down what you think are the temptations that you have in your life. If you can do that and then come back to me in a few minutes and we will start looking at what temptation is all about. So we're going to look at our reading for Matthew 4, 1 to 11. Jesus is tested in the wilderness. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." And Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." And then the devil took him to a holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift up their hands, and so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." And again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." And Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." And then the devil left him, and the angels came and attended to him. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So hopefully you have got your list of the temptations that think you're going to struggle with this year or through Lent in your hand or on a piece of paper next to you. So set that aside and let's look at what temptation is all about. Consider this. Lent is not about who we are, rather it is about to whom do we belong. Well, we hope that we belong to God, yes? You see, in the reading, in the same way, Jesus faced temptation like we do, but he was in the desert. And we also face temptations, not just during Lent. Temptations come to us every day of every day of every day. You know what it's like. Jesus faces the temptation to turn stones into bread. That was the first one, in order to ease his hunger, because he'd been out and he'd been fasting for 40 days. And we face temptation to turn Lent into some kind of diet scheme, which we will overcome our addiction of chocolate or social media, or maybe even of drinking wine. And that is something that we do, possibly in a very single-handed way. I think the temptation here for both Jesus and for us is to give into a temptation, and that makes everything about us, doesn't it, rather than about our relationship with God. We know there are millions who struggle to find enough to eat for food across the world. We see it in the papers and on the news every day. And the devil is tempting Jesus to use his power just to feed himself, not to worry about anyone else. And because we know there are millions starving in the world, are we also tempted to ignore that reality and instead, during Lent, worry about what we look like when we look in the mirror? The temptation is to make our entire spiritual life about us, about our personal walk. And we're not individuals like that. God creates us to be in relationship with each other. The temptation is for us to focus on Jesus's ability to overcome temptations and to gauge whether or not we are able to accomplish a similar act of self-salvation. But let's remember that Lent is not about who we are. Rather, it is about to whom do we truly belong. We are tempted by stuff every single day. It is such a regular occurrence that we probably do not even realise that it's happening anymore. With that reality in mind, the whole point of focusing on temptations through Lent is not to create a test so that we can prove our worth in overcoming temptations and feel a little bit self-righteous, but to focus on the temptations themselves. What are they? So that we might recognise them when they come along and bite us. I invite you to not choose just to give up chocolate or maybe Facebook or wine or whatever it might be. Because when we do so, it ends up being a test on whether or not we are able to save ourselves. Saving ourselves from evil, we might think, of the evilness of creamy and succulent and indulgent chocolate. Such a Lenten discipline focuses on overindulgence, of a treat, something that actually, if in small measures we eat, is okay. And it actually completely misses the reality that our neighbour in another part of our world would not have chocolate. They may not even have bread to eat. The disciplines of Lent are not about proving ourselves worthy of God's love and attention. Notice that Jesus does not need to prove himself in order to be worthy of the title Son of God. God has torn open the heavens and declared that Jesus is as the beloved of him, and he sets him out in his ministry. Remember what happens when Jesus is baptized, and God says, "You are my beloved, in whom I am well pleased." And we too have already been declared as children of God in the waters of our baptism. Jesus has nothing to prove here, and neither do we. Temptations are not about proving our worth. However, the thing for which we do need training through the desert time of Lent is recognising the kinds of temptations that are coming our way, the real temptations, not chocolate. And what are these temptations? Well, I was reading something online and there was somebody called Caroline Lewis, and this is the way that she described those temptations that we face today. To satisfy our own hungers when millions go hungry. Well, that's all about turning those stones into bread for Jesus, wasn't it? And then she says, to insist that God's loyalty and promises need to be tested on a regular basis. Do we need to do that? It's testing whether or not God cares and will send his angels to save us if we fall? And then she says, to choose the power that the world values over our obedience to God. So there we have the temptation to be like Jesus was. It was suggested to Jesus to be tempted to be the ruler of the kingdom and make the world work our way rather than God's way. In other words, temptations seek to make us focus inwardly upon ourselves. The temptation is to worry about who we are rather than to whom do we belong. The tempter would love us to focus only on ourselves and completely ignore those who are around us, our neighbours. What did Jesus ask us to do? To love your God, he said, and love your neighbour. The tempter would love us to ignore the love of Jesus on the cross and have us question constantly whether or not God loves us. The tempter would love us to seek to make the world in our own image rather than in God's image. And the tempter would love it if we ignored all who seek to do these very things themselves and refuse to hold them accountable. That's our job as well, to seek justice, fair play. But Jesus knows to whom he belongs, doesn't he? Jesus sees these temptations coming, and he then goes out and feeds the 5,000 when temptation tells the disciples that the hungry people should just go away and feed themselves. God cares for the poor and the hungry. Jesus knows to whom he belongs. Jesus sees these temptations coming, and he trusts what God is doing as he hangs on the cross for living a life of radical love. He hears and ignores the tempting taunts of the people who would convince him that God does not care. God does care. And he raises Jesus on the third day. Alleluia. Jesus knows to whom he belongs. Jesus sees the temptations coming, and he is given the opportunity to rule the world any way that he seems fit. But instead, he chooses to follow the ways of God the Father. God cares that God's kingdom come and that God's will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We know that prayer. And that is for the sake of our neighbour. For God cares about all who live in his kingdom. Lent is not about who we are, nor is it about how great we are or how able we are not to overcome temptation. Lent is about to whom do we belong. Lent is about God and those God cares about, our neighbours. You shall love your neighbour as yourself. Therefore, let's not make this Lent about what we will give up. Rather, make this Lent about who we will live for. Make this Lent be the time that we strive to care for God and all that God loves. But we can only focus on this love of God and love of neighbour if we are able to recognise the temptations that might actually get in the way of us doing that. And given all this, I ask you again now, to once you've finished listening to this audio, to take the first piece of paper where you wrote down what your temptations were, and write the list again. List the ones that block you from caring about others and the way God calls us. Really do it. And I hope you are able to now distinguish the temptations that are likely to separate you from God. And recognize these temptations so that they don't block your view of Jesus and his love of others. Just as Jesus loves us, no matter what, may Jesus lead you in ways of love this Lent and always. Amen. I'm going to sing to you just a few of the verses from When I Needed a Neighbour. When I needed a neighbour, were you there, were you there? When I needed a neighbour, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name won't matter. Were you there? So let us pray together. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for you give us grace to defeat evil and to resist temptation. In our troubles, you are our strength and our support. You bring us to eternal life. Blessed are you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Lord, bless your people who are struggling with temptation. Guide your church that it may lead others to do your will and to live in love and peace with all. Lord, help us to make others aware of the deep spiritual things within your world, that we are all called to work with you. Help us to do your will and so to live in your kingdom. We remember before you, Lord, all who are suffering through sin and violence and war. We pray for peoples and nations who are divided again against each other through ancient wrongs and through greed. We pray for all who are sorely tempted to do wrong. Lord, show us all the peace we should give and the peace that we should forego. Jesus, we ask for your blessing upon our homes and our families. We bring before you all who are suffering, those who have broken relationships and broken homes. We pray for those who have been rejected by their families and all who feel that they have been betrayed in love. Bless all who work to bring reconciliation and new hope to separated people. We give thanks for all who share in healing and the restoring of well-being to all who suffer. And we remember all who are in pain or distress at this time. And we ask your blessing upon all who are separated from loved ones through illness or disability. All who can no longer cope on their own. And we give thanks for the forgiveness of sins, and we give thanks for the hope of eternal life. And Lord, we rejoice in the fellowship of all the saints and the faithful who are now in your kingdom. And we pray for our loved ones departed. May we all at the last share in the glory of God, in your kingdom and in your love. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. When I needed a healer, were you there, were you there? When I needed a healer, were you there? And the creed and the colour and the name, what matter? Were you there? And as we bring our service our audio service to a close. I send out my warmth and blessings to you all as you embark on these weeks leading to Easter. And remember that God loves you, that God wants the best for you in your life. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always. Amen.